May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. I am struck by the zeal in today's lesson and gospel. Paul is so earnest when he acknowledges his weakness and proclaims his faith. He said, I kept my faith, even when I said I am greatly afflicted. He also tells us that we should look toward an eternal rather than earthly dwelling. If the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He reminds us especially that a sturdy, stable home where we live together comes from God and is by God's grace that the community expands to include more and more people. Then Mark, in today's gospel reading, depicts Jesus as having gone just a little bit crazy. He is also full of zeal. Even his family wants to restrain him as he scolds the crowd and tells the scribes that they are sinful people, and as people possessed by sin, incapable of cleansing themselves. Like Paul, he tells the crowd an important truth about our earthly dwelling. If the household does not live in cooperation with the Holy Spirit and according to the will of God, it will never be stable. It will simply collapse. These exhortations from Jesus challenge our futile attempts to build stability out of physical rather than spiritual material. They also underscore the importance of building our faith communities, our families, and our neighborhoods in obedience to God. Jesus tells us that our house can stand only if it's built on forgiveness, faith, continuous transformation, and inclusive, loving relationships. The source of conversion in my recent spiritual life has been the study of Saint Benedict. It came as no surprise that as I studied the readings for today, I found intimations of Benedictine spirituality and teaching. Just as members of Benedictine communities adhere to the principles of obedience, humility, stability, and convertio morum, conversion of the soul, Jesus and Paul call us to the same instructions for living. So why has Saint Benedict become so prominent in my life recently? I became familiar with Benedictine spirituality years ago, beginning with retreats at the House of Prayer, my exposure to the monastic communities at St. John's in Collegeville and St. Benedict's in St. Joseph, and my work with a Benedictine spiritual director. I can recall many moments of transformation and conversion as I was immersed in the Benedictine way. But how have I arrived back here? As you know, my role at St. Mark's as a member of the shared ministry team is to help strengthen our pastoral ministry and broaden its scope. One of the first steps we took when Bishop Bruce was with us was to re-energize Eucharistic visiting. So for the last 2.5 years, we have grown quite steadily, from making maybe 2 visits per month, I'm guessing mostly by Carl Hawker, to 10 to 12 visits a month. And we really want to do more. The team of Eucharistic visitors, about 10 lay people in our clergy, carries out its ministry in a quiet, committed routine. As the team has grown, it has become more and more reflective of the aspects of the Benedictine rule. In this way, we exercise obedience by our adherence to the liturgy of communion under special circumstances in the prayer book, with humility by honoring the unique needs of the people we visit, and of stability by making our visits on a regular schedule. I think I can say, for all of us who serve as Eucharistic visitors, we also experience convertio morum, or conversion of soul. The people we visit have deeply moved and changed us. They are as much a part of our spiritual growth and conversion as we are of theirs, perhaps even more. A more challenging goal has been to expand our pastoral ministries and to prepare people to meet a whole range of needs, both within our cathedral community and among our neighbors. Last spring, after some intense work by a dedicated task force, we came to a few conclusions about our ambitions for pastoral ministry. We agreed that we wanted to retain our long tradition of serving the sick, visiting the homebound, visiting people who are in the hospital, in rehabilitation, or in hospice care. We remain committed to providing healing and support to people in difficult life circumstances. Our ministry at the Emmagabo's Healing Station is part of that tradition. It is one of the places where anyone may come and where we listen with what Benedict calls the ear of the heart. We pray privately together, and we offer laying on of hands and anointing with oil. We envision other possibilities for pastoral care with children and youth, in our feeding ministries, in mental health, and with other complex life situations. We also recognize that if we are to build these ministries, there must be more of us, and we must become more highly skilled. With this in mind, we began to search for a pastoral ministry training program that would prepare people with a broad range of gifts. We looked for a program that would offer training and an opportunity for spiritual growth as a way of living into ministry. We want to develop groups of lay ministers who not only delight in service, but support each other and are excited about sharing the hope of the gospel. My search for a training model led me to a program based on Benedictine spirituality. This program is called Community of Hope. As I started to learn about Community of Hope and its foundation in Benedictine spirituality, I felt I found a perfect match with our aims and with our Anglican tradition. I became about as zealous as an Episcopalian can become about figuring out how St. Benedict, the Rule, and Community of Hope could underpin pastoral ministry at St. Mark's. Benedict of Nursia was an Italian monk and is a Christian saint. He lived from 480 to 547. He founded 12 monasteries in Italy. In the Rule, he refers to these monasteries as holy tents. Benedict decided that the rule of the master, which had governed most monasteries at the time, was too rigid and didactic. So he developed his own rule, which is firmly based in Scripture. The rule's 73 chapters are laced with scriptural references. It provided a new way of conducting monastic life. It encouraged a spirit of balance, moderation, and reason, what we Episcopalians think of as the middle way, or via media. As monasteries proliferated through the Middle Ages, throughout Europe, and into Great Britain, the Rule of Benedict became the predominant guide by which monastic communities were formed and functioned. The rule also influenced the growth of Western Christianity and had a very direct effect on the formation of Anglicanism and consequently on the Episcopal Church. For example, Thomas Cranmer drew heavily from the rule in creating our Book of Common Prayer. He adopted and adapted the Benedictine spirituality of prayer and Eucharist so that all people could participate actively in the life of prayer and worship of the Church. Both avowed religious people and lay people use the rule today as a way to structure their daily lives, just as some of us use the prayer book to structure our personal and corporate daily prayer practice. These two are very close sisters. There are some elements of the rule which I find most pertinent to pastoral ministry and to our growth as a faith community. The Community of Hope embeds these elements in the training and formation program that we are adopting. One has to do with how we bear witness to God's power by relieving suffering and caring for the sick, the poor, the elderly, and the vulnerable. According to Benedict, this includes those who are vulnerable to sin. Within the Benedictine community, the rule spells out how the members are to treat each other when they are sick. It also gives some interesting instruction to those who are receiving care. From chapter 36 of the rule, "Before all things and above all things, care must be taken of the sick, so that they will be served as if they were Christ in person. But let the sick, on their part, consider that they are being served for the honor of God. And let them not annoy their sisters who are serving them by their unnecessary demands. Yet they should be patiently borne with, because from such as these is gained a more abundant award. Therefore the abbess shall take greatest care that they suffer no neglect. As for the disobedient or the arrogant, their brothers and sisters are to show great patience. They are to be given second, third, and fourth chances to atone." How many times did Jesus rail about disobedience? But he just kept trusting on God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. Benedict's rule makes allowances for human imperfection. A second element in the rule has to do with hospitality. Paul tells us that we are to extend Christ's grace to all people, day by day, when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. We express that gift of grace through compassionate listening and presence. Our efforts to express generous, non-judgmental hospitality strengthen our community, just as hospitality and prayer draw together the members of the Benedictine communities. So how do we learn to develop our gifts for healing presence and listening with the ear of the heart? We think that the Community of Hope curriculum and its foundation in Benedictine spirituality will help us do just that. Through growth of the inner self, God seeks to save the inner person, to find her and put her to work in God's mission. Community of Hope training also enables participants to develop mutual bonds of trust, which they can carry into their chosen ministries, and perhaps touch some of the rest of us in the process. I hope you'll read the piece in the wrapper today about our collaboration with St. David's Episcopal Church in Minnetonka in bringing the Community of Hope to our congregations. This is a lively conversation and collaboration. And please take me up on my invitation to learn more about the Community of Hope. I'd also like to invite you to visit the bookstore to check out the books I've recommended in the wrapper piece by Joan Chittister and Esther Duvall. In closing, I would like to share Benedict's call to become zealous in carrying out God's saving mission. From chapter 72. "Just as there is an evil zeal of bitterness which separates from God and leads to hell. So there is good zeal, which separates from vices and leads to God and to life everlasting. This zeal, therefore, the sisters should practice with the most fervent love. Let us heed the admonitions of Paul and Jesus and consider Benedict's lessons from the rule, that we too may be blessed with a sturdy, stable tent, a house that remains standing because we are united in love and service.